Hello, Patriots. Thanks for stopping by Lori & Company show. I had a show earlier, and I didn't book enough time, and I was having an interesting phone call from Nato, and I think he's from Missouri, and he also lives in the South. Anyway, he was interesting, making great comments about Second Amendment and having people, especially women, you know, be carrying guns. And, you know, that's kind of crazy. I certainly don't want to go to a place where there's a bunch of leftists carrying a gun because I think they'll kill me. So, you know, I have kind of strong or mixed up feelings about that subject. But I appreciated him calling in. And I felt bad that I hadn't booked enough time for today in the studio. I don't know whether you noticed it, but I no longer have as much noise from the rooster as I had at our neighbor rooster. It's not my rooster. And I asked God to make that rooster be quiet because it was making me crazy. Plus, it's embarrassing on the audio, on the radio show. Told you I lived out in the sticks. I like living out in the sticks where you know, don't have to worry about someone, you know, breaking into your house or car as much because they know the people out where I am are armed to the teeth. Yep. I don't say that lightly. I'm saying that these are people who, you know, have weapons because they've got coyote problems. They've got other issues that they're dealing with, including like my neighbor who shot a humongous snake, rattlesnake. So, you know, you can't ask a rattlesnake to leave your property. You got to deal with it. So anyway, with that said, I want to talk a little bit about the overview of the Operation Rainbow. You know, a lot of people aren't going to take the time to go back and listen, especially to my shows that had all kinds of technical issues. I was taking flack, I think, because the shadow government wanted to break my will and make me give up and just forget about it and go back to my life. But you know, just like Melissa, who has FreedomForce.live, Freedom Force Battalion, we kind of got involved in similar ways around the same time. She was a moderator and so was I, but we don't know each other. I've never met her or talked to her. But my heart tells me that she's, you know, a good lady. And she felt compelled to do what she was doing, and I felt compelled to do what I was doing. So, and I don't feel compelled anymore. I'm going to keep trying to do it. Wanted to tell you about the escape, the inspired escape. I called it that because originally the concept for what I had planned to do was called the Inspired Vision event. And I was just thinking that it was going to be on my farm. And it's a whole series of unfortunate events. And I like the book. But I tried to explain, you know, how it got off track And then once the lockdown happened, I had to postpone the event. I think it was twice. So I just went, a third time was originally going to be in the summer, and then it got moved because of losing my venue that was set up to have it September 11th, 2021. And I didn't want to postpone again, like it was a question of pride, I guess, that I didn't want to be humiliated again and have to postpone yet again. And also because I felt very compelled, because my brother at that point was very ill. And I'll be frank, I was expecting and waiting on and hoping for and praying for a miracle from my brother, my big brother, who was such a great guy. And I miss him so much, but I didn't get that miracle. And 2 months after the event, a little less than 2 months, he passed. So I really felt September 11th was a day that kind of changed our country, because what they say happened on 9/11 was not the way things went down completely, the way it occurred, and who was behind it and why they did it, and you know what was done by the media to shall we say, shape public opinion so that we would all be okay about going into Iraq. There's much more going on than we understand, and I want to get to a point where we're just, you know, having good times and living our lives. But over and over again, this cabal keeps showing just how wicked they are. And one of the things that was wicked that they did was the jab rollout. So I hope that you are as pleased as I am that Fauci has been diagnosed with COVID. And this is a guy who's got like 4 jabs and boosters and wore, you know, 5 masks and slept in a plastic bag at night. Maybe slept hanging upside down, little vampire that he is. But anyway, I'm not upset that he has COVID. You know, you reap what you sow, baby. And maybe they'll stick you on a ventilator and record your death as a COVID death so they can get some money at the hospital. That's what was going on, people. That's what's going on. So don't be thinking that, you know, everything's fine and dandy. We're in a battle, and the wicked are not going away. In the old days, they would have just stepped aside, but they've worked so hard on this plan for so many centuries, they refuse to go away. They won't just step aside. They are putting up a big fight. And in case you haven't figured it out yet, we did win World War II, but the Nazis didn't just suddenly evaporate. They all didn't go to prison. They all didn't, you know, say, "Oh, I'm so sorry I was a Nazi and did these things." They just regrouped and they met up with people that, you know, were in agreement with them. They just did it on the sly, off radar, undercover. And the royals in many countries, I don't mean just the British royals, I mean other royal families, they were also part of it. What comes down to is power and money is a hard thing to give up. So anyway, just to tie up what my previous show earlier today was about, at the end of it, I had a phone call talking about basically carrying a gun, and you know, that you end up having people behave properly when they don't know who's armed and who's not. And like, you know, for example, because of all the threats that Sean Hannity gets, he has a concealed carry permit. But then because he has a concealed carry permit, you know, maybe it makes him more of a target because, you know, some scumbag, you know, could wrestle him to get his gun. So I don't know what the answer is. I just think we have to make better humans.
Do that. Anytime they call you racist or whatever because you believe in freedom and you actually believe in equality and you actually believe in judging people by the content of their character, when those people attack you, just say, devil, get away from me in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that will back them down. They're really not mad at us. They're mad at God. They hate God, not us. Anybody?
Right, that was an excerpt from Frank's speech. I think it might be Pastor Burns, but I'm not certain. The pastors are speaking up more, and the priests and the rabbis, but you have to look at it from their point of view. They don't want to alienate anyone, especially as a pastor, to stand up and say, you know, if you vote for a Democrat, you're voting for people who, take money from Planned Parenthood, which is from aborted babies that are sold on the black market. And, Republicans also probably get that money that way too. But that, what they do is so evil, this cabal, they bundle the money so that you think you're getting money from some, you know, group that is, you know, totally fine. But you go digging down into the other contributions that are in it, it ties back to, like companies that you don't want anything to do with, like Planned Parenthood. And Planned Parenthood pretends that they are healthcare providers. Right now, anybody who's poor or doesn't have insurance, you can get healthcare. And it's not like birth control is, outrageous or something. I mean, or a condom for that matter. The Planned Parenthood centers, they're not getting healthcare. They're giving abortions and they're giving contraceptives. Most of them don't have even a test for like mammogram machines. They spend their money on giving it to the Democrat Party. It's not a clinic and a free healthcare. Okay, there are people that work there have come out, whistleblowers, and have explained what goes down there, and it's pretty wicked, people. And it's I do not advocate, violence against any abortion clinic, but it would not be surprising to me if these wicked people pay people to bomb or burn the abortion clinics so that it can be blamed on right-wing extremist Christians. Okay, Christians don't go and do that kind of stuff, but they get blamed for it. And that's how the Nazis operated during World War II. They would do stuff and then blame it on other groups to demonize those other groups. They're very, very demented, and that's because they are, I believe, possessed by demonic spirits, detached spirits came up from hell or whatever, wherever they came from. And so they don't have any problems with wrecking people's lives and framing them and lying about them and doing terrible things because they, I guess their incentive is that they get money and they, they're told they get to live longer or something. I don't know. But if you want to know more about what this wicked shadow government cabal is about, this guy named Ronald Bernard, who's a Dutch guy who was in banking. His videos were on YouTube. Ronald Bernard, B like boy, E-R-N-A-R-D, like dog. And he was in it. And he was, just all fine with like the orgies and the parties and all that stuff and the money. But what he drew a line at is when he was told to show his loyalty, how to kill kids. That's where he said, I can't go there. So he probably, is one of the most latest whistleblowers, but there's many, many more. Anyway, I wanted to play the rest of that, what Michael Lindell has to say, because I love Mike Lindell. I feel like so many good people, you know, have had their lives wrecked with, and these people like Pelosi in a video bragging about her two $10,000 refrigerators and her $20 a pint ice cream. And I think, you freaking bitch, that's what I think. And I know that's not Christian to say that, but, you know, she is wicked. And I should take that part out. But, you know, I'm so tired of bad people prospering and good people being hurt. And, you know, Mike Lindell is a good guy. Hear what he has to say, and I'll be right back in.
Have done more damage to this country than all the other media put together because they don't talk about things. They don't talk about the things that matter. Steve, I've said if they were a weather channel, they wouldn't report hurricanes and tornadoes. It's disgusting. So when I say it's getting better, more and more is getting revealed. I mean, for Walmart to do what they did to my bill today, and then people start looking it up. Gee, they have 10,000 vendors over in China? This is Walmart. They're very evil. I didn't know some of this stuff. Steve, I'm finding out some of this stuff today about Walmart. I'm going, you don't care about the entrepreneur Walmart. And by the way, we're going to be launching. You can use your promo code, Steve Warum, at mystore.com. We have entrepreneurs over there, a safe place for them, so you don't have your Walmarts and your QVCs and your... and all the other evil out there that are just
Before I talk my story, because you and I are going to do a launch event, I want to go back to, I want you to tell our audience, you got 2.5 minutes, walk through the misrepresentation lies that Walmart told you before they canceled you.
All right. What they did, everybody, Walmart slow play this. Everybody knows a year ago you had, I'm looking at a list here of all the ones that canceled, Sam's Club, Better Business. I mean, I call them Better Business, another corrupt organization. Bed Bath & Beyond, Boscov, Costco, CVS, Kohl's, Target, HEB. The list goes on and on. Mattress Firm, I mean, it goes on and on. This was last year. When Walmart did, they were kind of like Costco. Costco slow-played it for a half a year, then they put the hammer down and tried to crush my pillow. Walmart slow-played this. Last year, they took us out of the As Seen on TV section. Then they put it, we were just back in the bedding section. But you know what? Even in the bedding section, it kept getting busier and busier this spring. Well, all of a sudden, a couple of weeks ago, my VPs go, hey, Walmart, we had just got our biggest order this spring. They go, yeah, Walmart just called. They want to cancel us. I go, what? So I call up their CMO, that's their chief marketing officer. I get a hold of him. I go, what is this all about? He goes, well, your sales are fatiguing. I go, that's a lie. You just gave us our biggest order of the year. And I said, you know, 10,000 pillows for that week. And he goes, well, let me look into it. So then week goes by, then this other guy calls and says, yeah, we're gonna look at 2023. I said, you get that CMO back on the phone. So yesterday at 4 o'clock, Steve, he gets on there, but it's not the CMO. He's a coward. He has some other VP, executive vice president of Walmart, gets on there and goes, you know, I said, our sales have increased, so that guy's lying. And he goes, oh, no. We're looking at ratings, and my pillow is rated right under a 4, and you have to be a 4. I go, according to what? What rating thing? He goes, oh, we put this in 2.5 years ago. I go, you're another liar, and it's disgusting. Walmart's going to be all over the news. I was offering a $19.88 pillow, Steve. Now your audience can get that pillow that was going to sell to Walmart. Use that promo code WARROOM, $19.88 for my pillows, everybody. Get as many as you want. I was up till 4 in the morning because this hurts my employees more than anything.
Hang on for 1 second. Short break. Lindell on the other side.
All right. That's Mike Lindell explaining what was done to him. And you know, part of it is that the goods that we are getting into America were manufactured in China. China used to be a pretty poor country with a lot of people. And now there's more millionaires than ever there, billionaires. You know, they could have done it the nice way that Trump was trying to do it, which was, you know, to pay your fair share of your, honor your trade deals, basically. Stop bringing in your stuff and not bringing anything from America back. The only thing that they were taking out of America was wheat, I guess, for their animals. I don't know, but they weren't taking any of our goods. And, you know, the CCP controls the WHO, the World Health Organization. But they don't pay all the money and the funding for that. America does. So why are they having so much control? Why is the Communist Chinese Party controlling the UN? Where America is paying a big chunk of the bill there for all their diplomats and scumbags, perverts, and overpaid politicians and administrative staff. So I really think that Mike Lindell trying to get manufacturing back to America, it's the only way that we're going to, you know, be able to disengage from China. China used to be, they were not a superpower when this all began. And it began when, well, that's a whole other story, but, you know, Nixon was big at trying to get the Chinese into the world market. But part of that was that the idea, like what Reagan has said, you have a peaceful world, peaceful countries, you know, it makes sense if you have people and countries around the world being prosperous, you have more peace possibilities. They don't want to go out to war with their neighbors. I mean, it's logical, right? But see, the Communist Chinese Party, they don't want to just have control of China. They want to take back other countries that used to be what they considered to be theirs. And they also want to control America. So they just have to disarm us first. The Democrat Party, who's owned by the Chinese Party, Chinese Communists, that's what the Democrat Party is trying to do. They create false flags. There's, you know, so many under Obama, and there'll be a lot more with Biden. Because if they can get our guns, then the billions of Chinese Communist Army will just be flooding in. And they're coming in already, but people aren't saying anything about it because that would make everyone get their guns and go to the borders. Go to the ports, go to the airports. So they're just doing it. They're just doing it in increments and very carefully and quietly. So, you know, we're in a big, big mess, people. And it was all avoidable. And there were people like me and others that were trying to get the word out. And we were deplatformed and shut down and threatened. I mean, never in my life did I think as an American citizen that I would have my life threatened and be told that I'm going to have my life ruined and then be framed for something I didn't do and all the rest of the stuff that was done. And it wasn't just me. I keep telling myself, you know, other people had it happen too. But it's hard to keep fighting when it's not like I got wealthy from it or famous or something, you know. So it's just very difficult. So I ask you to keep me in your prayers. I want to tell you about this trip, the Inspired Escape. I haven't really talked much about it because I didn't have much time before the 2021, last year, for the event. I was very, very busy, and I didn't have really a chance to promote it because I was told by the Fog Catcher Inn up in Cambria, you know, that they would honor the gift certificate. But I had received it from someone that used to work there. And his name is Charlie. And, unfortunately, Charlie got ill, and I don't know whether he's okay or not. I hope he is. But it was problematic when he originally gave me the gift certificate for another event that I was organizing because I couldn't get an answer and get it. So I didn't feel confident to promote the event. And I finally got it last minute, and yes, I didn't really get a chance to properly promote it. But when I spoke to the Fogcatcher, they said that it would be honored. It's for a romantic two-night stay in a fireplace room, a bottle of local Paso Robles wine, and a wine-tasting passport to tour of the 46 West wineries. Now, because of COVID, I don't think that you can assume that all of those are going to be open. And, of course, this is also subject to what's available. They have events during the year, and you know, they can block out whatever time they want. And they, you know, you can't say that you want to come, you know, next weekend and be guaranteed that you're going to be able to use it. It's a pretty fairly expensive bed and breakfast, but I particularly like it because it's right on Moonstone Beach, and it's near the sea lions sanctuary that's nearby. And if you wanted to, you could walk downtown to the shops and the art galleries. They regularly have special events like car shows and other, that's the one that comes to mind. But they, you know, obviously there's lots going on there. But what's unusual about Cambria is that it's still pretty quiet, and it's near Harmony. It's a little small town nearby, but it's very picturesque. But it's on the way north if you were going to go up to Big Sur and 17-mile drive, and then up to Monterey, and then up to San Francisco. So you could make it more than just this coming out to do this one trip. If you end up getting a ticket and, you know, being in California, you could try to incorporate more sightseeing. The visitors that we've had from Europe have always gone up that way and loved it. It's a very, very special area. There's lots of wineries there. The Fess Parker Winery is there. He was the guy who played Daniel Boone. You have the Firestone family has their winery there. Paso Robles wine, I think, is very special. They seem to have just the right climate for growing. But even if you're not into wine, there's plenty of other stuff to do. I just think it's a great place. And even though it's called Fogcatcher because they get fog that rolls in, I really think that, you know, you'll feel renewed if you go and enjoy this bed and breakfast. And they have swimming, and they have a hot cooked breakfast. At least they did last time I was there, which was years ago. Because, I mean, part of the problem is with this shutdown in California, it delayed me being able to even talk about this or have it be something that I was able to offer. So I wanted to tell you why I like this area so much. And in case you don't know it, William Randolph Hearst was a newspaper mogul. I mean, he would tell the newspapers what to print and what the story would be. I think he was more of a righty than a lefty. But, you know, he definitely was a very powerful person. And they call it what he built there in San Simeon, which is nearby Cambria and the Fogcatcher Inn. They call that America's Castle. And it's a very strange-looking building or estate. And it sits up on a bluff right next to the Pacific, and they call that the Enchanted Hill. It used to be that only celebrities and famous people could get up there. But when William Randolph Hearst's family had the decision about keeping the estate going, they ended up giving it to the state of California because of property taxes. So that's how the government, the big cabal, gets their hands on everything by making it impossible for people to afford to stay where they are because of the taxes going up. So the Hearst family gave it to the state of California, which operates it now as a museum. It has a lot to the estate, the big castle, and then another castle, casa rather, north. I'm looking to see how many acres it is. The property is very big. And what is interesting to me is that they have a lot of European art and antiques that were taken out of Europe after World War II. Hearst was a big collector, and he started taking out massive amounts of artifacts. But then he also was so wealthy that he dismantled buildings and then re-erected them on his estate. So it's unusual. It's an unusual place. It has gardens and a big pool, and the Greek architecture by the Neptune pool is pretty impressive. I mean, you feel like when you go there that you're not in America. You're like in, taking a trip to Europe. So people who don't want to fly or are afraid to fly, in a way, it's a way to feel like you're going to museums that are in Europe. So I guess, they say castle, but according to Lord John Julius Norwich, Hearst Castle is a palace in every sense of the word. They have different tours available at the castle. As I said, movie stars and tycoons, and you put on these big elaborate affairs. And David Niven went to, he's a British actor. He went to them. He would have people come up, especially during the heyday of Hollywood when it was just getting going, and to get an invitation there was a big deal. But I think Hearst was having an affair with a woman named Marion Davies, and so he was very careful about who he had around, because obviously you don't want people telling your wife that you're having an affair. But she would invite people up all the time, and then he'd have to entertain them. And it was a very, very pretty place to go to. So it's just south of Monterey and Santa Cruz. It's above San Luis Obispo and Santa Maria, and that below Santa Maria is Santa Barbara. And Santa Barbara is where Dennis Miller lives in Santa Barbara, because he's a comedian, because it's close enough to LA, but still, not in the, with all the crazies. My point for mentioning that is that the ticket is $20 in, I would like it that everyone has a chance to buy a ticket versus having, one person buy up a whole bunch. So the idea is that something that was given to me by Charlie at the podcast we're in a long time ago, because of the lockdowns and other things that happened, postponing me doing this, that it would do some great good. Something wonderful would come from it. I think he would have liked that. And I have a feeling he's no longer here. I think he passed out of cancer. But if he is alive, I hope he call in. But if we could get those tickets sold for what I call the Inspired Getaway, put the PDF of it at the blog.laurabella.com. I think I would be able to get some of these children to get a scholarship for going to the Rawhide Ranch. And I don't know the people at the Rawhide Ranch. I've only met them a few times. But I know that they're doing good things, and I know that this would be a place that could be very therapeutic for the kids that are being rescued from these monsters. And so that's why I'm advocating it. If you want to support this vision and buy a ticket, that would be great. And, there's an accounting system that's built into the Give platform. It's all set up. It's working. When there, you can pay with a credit card via Stripe. I think you can pay through PayPal too. Or if you want, you can Venmo me. Whatever. I mean, it's not like you can do with cash. It's very hard. I don't know what people are afraid of, but my email is Lori Company B, like boy. If you want to participate that way. The other thing I have that I wanted to talk about briefly, I'm not very good at asking for money, so I'm doing this, but I'm obviously not that thrilled about it. But I had so much expenses in the last event, the 9/11/21 event, and my whole community boycotted it. And I know why they boycotted it, but it wasn't about me. But it ended up hurting me a lot. And I guess, it also hurt the ranch because they didn't get any donations. So I understand that from what I can gather, put it that way, there are donations coming in directly by mail and to the Rawhide Ranch, and that's fine. Just that I can't sit there and say, and thank you to, Andrea in Florida for your generous contribution to the Rawhide Ranch Scholarship Fund $1,000. Like, I would like it to be like that. But the information that was showing to me is no longer showing. So I guess it's that the message is that, these people are donating to the scholarship fund, really don't want their names out there, and they also don't want to be audited, I guess, if they put down that they donated money and then the IRS goons come and, audit their business or their 501c3. So, and again, I could start a foundation and take in money that way. But, this doesn't, you need to be donating to the people that are doing the work. The people that are doing the work are the Rawhide Ranch, other camps that are going to be made that are going to copy what the Rawhide Ranch program and curriculum and mottos and philosophy is. And then the organizations that are rescuing the kids and the adults, it's not just kids, it's you know, they need a lot of volunteers, and they need care. And that's where the churches and the organizations and the scouts and the other, you know, clubs like Rotary and AAA Club and Lions and Moose and, you know, that ties in to the Wizard of Oz, you know, the lions and tigers and bears, oh my, you know. Well, I know the lions do great work. I know the moose are good people, and you know, I'm the Mama Bear Club. So look at it that way. That the animals are clubs. You know, I don't know why they name these clubs after animals, but go be the Teddy Bear Club. And the reason I'm talking about that now is because I saw a cloud in the sky that looked just like a teddy bear. So I told Mike Lindell on the Getter, I don't know whether he listens to me or not, but I told him to start making teddy bears since he's been having his orders wrecked up by the scum at Walmart. And I shouldn't say, you know, Sam Walton was not a scum, and his employees might be scum. I don't know who's making the decision to screw over Mike Lindell, but you know, I always thought Walmart was okay because it refused to go union. But you know, Hillary Clinton sits on the Walmart board, as far as I can. I think I remember reading that. So, you know, I don't know who's doing this, but I don't think it's Sam Walton. I don't think he would have been very happy about it. And it's funny that his name comes up because I was talking about the Waltons, the TV show by Earl Hammer, being a good TV show for kids and for shaping society. So anyway, when I've been up there, I was for a car show, and I think nearby is where Michael Jackson had his estate in Los Olivos. I think it's Olivos, where he had Neverland. So in a way, that ties into this strange story too, because Neverland is where, you know, Peter Pan lived. And, you know, Michael Jackson was a kid. Like, he didn't want to grow up. He wanted to be, you know, I think he had a really horrible childhood and abusive parents, father especially. And, you know, it damaged him. But I think Michael was a good man, a good guy. And according to Lisa Presley, who was married to him, you know, they had a normal husband-wife relationship. So all this stuff about him, to damage him, came about because he went against the cabal. He didn't want to keep working for the music industry, that because they had he didn't like their contract, and he wanted to go free, I guess, and they wouldn't let him out. So their solution was to totally ruin him and smear him. I think Michael actually had a very gentle spirit, and you know, maybe what they say about him is true. You don't know, and I don't know. So all I know is that they can ruin anyone. They can say all kinds of stuff. I mean, in my case, they tried to wreck my reputation by putting, shall we say, problematic files on my website. I didn't put them there. So, you know, I had to report cyber crime. So, you know, who did that? Was it the cabal? Was it Hillary's hackers? You know, was it Obama's owners? I don't know. Well, I know I didn't put them there. I don't even go into the file structure, my websites, because it's a maze when I go back there and look around, like, afraid to touch anything. So I know that as what I said to the people at Rawhide Ranch, I said I had gone there to book a having a party there for my husband's birthday. This is last year, and I was really impressed by the place. And then I started to think about it in a bigger way, like. And then he told me about being shut down, one of the owners. And, I started thinking about how this would be perfect for tying into taking care of having a place for these kids to go to that are being rescued. And the ranch is, it's in good condition and it's safe and, it's a very interesting place. But it's also a perfect place for making movies that take place in, I would say, probably, Western times, pioneer times. But you could also, change it up so that it looked like 1920 or 1940. And so I said, has anyone ever talked to you about making movies here? And as soon as I said it to him, he said, no, that's never happened. But I heard the words in my head, Brigadoons. And what's Brigadoons? Well, that's a movie that had Gene Kelly in it, who looks a lot like the Kelly boys that I knew when I was young. And Gene Kelly was a singer and a dancer. He was in the era of Bing Crosby and Bing Crosby and Bob Hope, Danny Kaye, that era. Trying to think of who else was famous. Fred Astaire. Those were famous dancers and leading men. And Gene Kelly was in Brigadoon, and it's about a Scottish, or I don't know if it's a Scottish town, but I think it was a Scottish town. A village that basically under a spell and it comes to life I haven't seen the movie in so long, I've forgotten. I don't know, every 100 years or something, 200 years. So anyway, when I heard that little voice, Brigadoon, I was like, oh, because I finally started to connect some dots. So it's, as I said, this is bigger than just rescuing kids and having a camp scholarship fund. It's broader than that, and I've posted the link about it on my Getter feed under Lori Parrish. And I know that I'm right about it, so that's why I won't shut up. But it's like the person that should have been doing this and, producing it and working on the event, probably someone a lot younger and richer than me, because maybe they would have been getting the help that they needed. But for whatever reason, God showed me this and what to do. So I have a choice. I can either just pretend I didn't understand what God was telling me, or I could try to go on faith and go and do it. I went on faith and I'm doing it. But it hasn't been a very fun experience, put it that way. Part of it is that when I remember the past, it's very emotional and upsetting and draining. But the good news is, I believe the spell is broken. And I say spell, I mean a spell, okay? This world has been under a cloud, an illusion, which is ties into the song, the winter song about that I played on the last show. And even Melissa Melly at freedomforce.live, she has a video showing the cartoons from Sleeping Beauty, where everything's very quiet and messed up, and very black and white, and then it comes to life when Sleeping Beauty is kissed by the prince. I mean, I do understand that you can't have people nowadays, promoting, wait for your handsome prince to come and, everything will be fine. But when they were doing those kind of cartoons, it was after World War II, where a lot of people had died, and they wanted to get people feeling romantic and getting married and having kids, and that's where the baby boomers came from. But right now, in most countries, there's not enough population to sustain themselves, not having less than two kids, and so that's not enough to sustain a society. But you know who's having a lot of kids are the Muslim countries, having multiple wives as well. And China also is having, has a big population. And that's why they went to the one child policy. So Americans have got to start getting married younger, which you have less chance of health issues if you are not an older woman having children. And they have to have more kids. And, it's hard to have a big family when things are so expensive, but it's also an act of faith to do so. And that's one thing. When I talk about prosperity, I mean abundance and fertility and, revival and renewal, and ties into this next phase of what is it has to be done. And I encourage you all to, if you find one of these episodes interesting, to download it. You just go to the little cloud image and it downloads, and you can save it for future reference, because I don't know how much of my stuff's going to get wiped off. I think my platform only allows so many hours and only so many live shows a month. So, I put some audio on my website, but I don't know how many hours I can upload. So if you find something that I'm saying interesting, please download the episode by hitting the little cloud, and then you can get an audio of it and then play that at a later date. But one thing that I wanted to kind of clarify is that, yes, my name is Lori. That's a very common name for my generation, as was Lisa and Linda and I can't remember, Michelle. That was also a very common name for my generation. But the letters actually stand for other words, like L as in learn, O as on, R as in real, and then I as in circle. In circle is a real word, as is encircle. Both tie into rings, and rings tie into my story. But it's kind of like, how can I put this? For me, I don't know how it'll be for you when you start having things happen to you, which more and more people are having experiences and visions and insights and, having their waking up and having their intuition activated, et cetera. For me, I knew it was time to talk about the name of my collie, Rembrandt, because I went outside dark one night, and I had him with me, and suddenly a light was shining on him or coming from him that was purple. And it's because he comes from a very noble line of, you know, breeding. His breed, who he came from, is a very special line of collies. I didn't know that when I pursued him. I found it out later. And so that was God's way of showing me now's the time to talk about his bloodline, because it does matter. And, you know, I'm not saying that he should be president because he comes from special ancestors. And I'm not into worshiping ancestors. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the people that were supposed to be in charge of this world were prevented from doing so. Like even in the Muslim faith, they had their leaders that were good and kind and just and wise. They were assassinated, and then, you know, radical ones came in their place. So this is not the world that God intended for us, but we're not supposed to just say, oh, well, I guess we, you know, do a do-over later on. I mean, that's part of the struggle, is that this is not what God planned, but it's also not God's plan for us to just accept it. So that's why we have to be more activated, I guess is the word. But part of it is that this great awakening is getting people to figure things out on their own. And like I said before, I don't get a text message from God. I don't get, an email or a phone call. I get it in very unexpected ways. And I also get it when I'm least expecting it. And one of the things that, in my case, I don't know whether it'll be this way for you, I hear things that other people don't, and I see things that other people don't. And, you know, for me to admit that on this platform, you know, just sets me up for all kinds of ridicule. But, you know, that's the truth. I see and hear things that other people don't. And it's not because I'm delusional or because I'm taking drugs and I'm taking, you know, illegal drugs. It's because I asked God when I was, when my kids were in college, and I was so scared and worried about them after the threats I got. I asked God to tell me what to do and fill me up and show me and guide me, and I'll do it, Lord. And I never did that before in my life. And almost immediately things started happening. And I was like, you want me? I was like, so what? So I'm telling you this ahead of time because it's not just pastors or really devout people that are going to be needed in this next part of this big endeavor that we're on. It's just ordinary people who hadn't even, you know, heard about God or about the Bible or about it being supernaturally encoded, and it is, or about certain people that are movers and shakers. You know, it's even little nobodies are a part of this. And that's what's so beautiful about it, that you can be a person that likes to make costumes and you're good at it. So you start getting involved in this new studio that's going to be coming. And it's not going to be me. I mean, I'm not a big enough wheel. It's other people that are going to be doing this, you know, making the studios and having good people work there that have been vetted and that, you know, aren't going to molest children and aren't going to be doing satanic rituals and aren't going to be taking kids into the back room and having sex with them, which is what's been going on in a lot of these Hollywood studios. I hate to say that, but you know, the perversity, the demonic behavior, you know, it's revolting. And it really bothers me a lot, because when I was younger, I was sexually assaulted. So, you know, I don't want that happening to anybody, especially a little kid. So the reason I'm telling you all this is because you might not think that you want to volunteer your time. But, for example, the churches, you know, they've got to get the young people back into church. Well, how do you get young people to come back into church? They don't want to be preached at, and they don't want to, you know, be sitting through boring Bible classes. Well, the one way you get them back into church is with really cool books that they learn and go over. So there's going to be a lot more books being written by children's authors. Another way you get them back in is music. Melissa of freedomforest.live, she has hours of scripture set to little catchy tunes that she recorded for Awana, which is my daughter did that briefly, which is like learning, it's like she did it for, it's a club for girls, but a Christian club. So, you know, that's the one way to get kids being musical, getting them to, you know, explore their musical talents, their artistic talents. Having it be that the church is not sitting there empty all week and waiting for people to come on Saturday or Sunday or once a week Bible class, that you have the churches that are already built and empty, and, you know, this is a situation in Europe as well, being used for other purposes, such as teaching English, such as therapy and healing, such as children's classes. I have a relative in Holland that made a business out of conducting enrichment for kids. Right? She has such a big heart, and she's such a wonderful person and a good artist as well. I miss you, I. Anyway, you know, the churches are really key in this, but the churches are having trouble paying their bills, especially here in California, because unless you have a super huge congregation, you can't afford to pay a pastor the salary that they would need to be a pastor. So what's the answer? Well, I've got the answer for that, and I'm going to be talking to more and more churches, because I want to be that person that's the liaison that tells them about it. But they probably don't need me. They can just, you know, find out about it in other ways. But the whole idea is that you can sponsor your causes, you can sponsor your church, you can have extra money for your own endeavor, whether it be a trip or a car or college education, through what I am working on right now. And you know, I think it's the solution. I know it's a solution. It's just that it's going to take more businesses getting involved and being part of it. And one of the things that I suggested to Mike Lindell, since he's been messed over by these retailers that decided not to take his product, or, you know, well, there's more to it than that. Let's go on frankspeech.com so you can hear what Mike says about it. Played a bit of it a little while ago. There's more to that story, but it's definitely retribution by these leftist, evil thing people. And, you know, I don't want to buy anything from people that I think are disgusting and immoral and vicious and working for the cabal. So that's it. We're going John Galt. And if you don't know who that is, read At the Shrug by Ayn Rand. Or watch the movie if you're more into visual stuff. But anyway, Mike Lindell, I suggested to him to don't be worried about having it in these stores. I don't think people are going to the big department stores anymore or the big box stores, whatever. I think people just are staying at home because they're afraid, but also because they want to be, I don't want to be out in the crowds when you don't know if some, you know, crazy person's going to come in there with a gun or they're going to be sick or whatever. I mean, so people are shopping from home a lot more. So what I said to Mike Lindell, and I hope he listens to me, is to develop a reward system for reps so that they can earn money by, you know, promoting the products that he's selling. And it has to be probably like a catalog type of situation. And, you know, it depends. Like if you're really into kids things, then you rep those products. If you really like I love flowers and gift baskets. I wish that I could, you know, promote them all the time. You know, so you could sell those products. But you set it up so that there's a reward system, and like the way it was when I did another work from home business a long time ago. Well, it was easy to get people willing to have, you know, home parties, kind of like, you know, you've heard of party lights. I didn't do that, but someone I knew did that as a side job. But it was easy to get business because there was rewards in it for the person who would host the party. And house parties are going to be more and more common because it's a great way to have fellowship and have socialization. I mean, I really like that aspect of it. But so you have a house party and you say to the hostess, you know, if you get if you get orders tonight from the catalog or from the things we have with us, you know, if your sales are $500, you get one free product and of your choice, and or you get the special at for free, and you get another product at half price. Or, you know, you can, it's set up in tiers, T-I-E-R-S, so that you can incentivize the hostess or the host to get more orders gathered. And then you ship it to that one person, that hostess, and they are responsible for delivering it. And you can obviously show that, you know, the products were ordered, the items were ordered, and they were shipped to the hostess. And it's up to her then. So you don't have as much of an expense because you're not shipping it to all these different addresses. Or you could do it that they ship to the address. I have drop shippers that I use, really good ones that make good products at a fair price. And, you know, I also, know that it can be done. It's just that with the shipping prices being so high, it makes it problematic because, you know, people aren't stupid. They know that, you know, it doesn't cost $50 to make a glass, you know, or whatever it is you're buying. But so I said to Mike Lindell, you know, you've got these machines and you've got the material for pillows and sheets. Well, start thinking about making teddy bears. And the teddy bears are for the kids that have been rescued, but it's also a good way, an item for fundraising, especially if you have them be customizable. And also for the, you know, people are, you know, think about the things you buy in the course of a month. You know, you have a kid, your kid tells you he's got a birthday party to go to. Well, you need a present, right? So problem, you order from your, you know, from your Mike Lindell store. you have a wedding, you have an anniversary, someone's retiring. You know, it's always someone's sick in the hospital. My husband was at the Lost Abbey a couple of days ago, last Friday, and his friend just suddenly looked strange, and he didn't have a stroke or a heart attack, but the ambulance, to their credit, first responders, came within 10 minutes. But, he'd go to visit someone in the hospital. You need flowers. You need flowers for that birthday present. So it's always these things that we're all buying every day anyway. So the idea is that you make it so that you know who you're getting it from. It's helping patriotic companies and businesses, and that it's, high quality and good, and that you feel good about it. And with my affiliation, it's actually healthy, natural for you, effective, patented products that are good for you as well as for using in your home. And we make our own circle and circle us, and it solves the problem. And when these companies that have done this to us by what they did with the jab, part of it, if you haven't figured it out, part of it was to decide, the globalists want to decide who gets to be a player and who gets to be, put out of business. And that, because Mike Lindell, he's not even a righty or a lefty, he's just a normal person in the middle. Because Mike Lindell was pro-Trump, because Trump was trying to turn our country around, they decided to squash Mike Lindell. And that's really what it comes down to. He has a promo code. I think it's L77, I think. But, he spends a lot on advertising, and he could recoup what he's been spending on advertising if he listens to what I'm saying, which, he's a very successful man, so I don't know why he listened to me. But right now, French Beach, you go over there, they've got My Pillow slippers, and they're very special slippers, and then they retail for a lot because they're very custom, very very well made, put it that way. And they're on sale for $49.98. It's promo code F like Frank, S like Sam, 9. And he also has a buy one, get one on pillows and bed sheets, the Giza Elegance towel sets, code S like Frank, S like Sam, 7. And my little Rembrandt came to visit. Rembrandt's my collie, in case you don't know. Help out Mike Lindell, because he's a Paul Revere and a patriot, and we need more men and women like him. All right, I can't get this to play. I don't know why it's saying Ratatouille. I think it has to do with the character in Ratatouille, I think being Remy or something. Rembrandt, my dog, is named after the painter, the Dutch painter. But also, we call him Remy. But REM, we call him REM sometimes too. That's rapid eye movements. And that's what we've got going on right now, on rapid eye movements. And you could also say it ties into Remington. Remington is a gun manufacturer in New York State. And they were sued out of business by one stupid leftist who claimed that the Well, that's a whole other story. I want to make sure I have my facts straight on that. But Remington, guns, and Rembrandt, and that's partly why I settled on Remy as a name for our collie. Kind of covers both of those names. I think Ratatouille is a Disney cartoon about a rat that likes to cook or something. I've never seen that. All right, so my little rhyme about get under Lorabella's umbrella. I really think there's going to be some big changes coming very soon, and it's going to be stuff for the good. I mean, I don't know whether you know this, but they were talking about Jacera and Nacera, and that has to do with finally getting out from under the footprint, the heavy boot of the government, and basically having things go to back to what they were supposed to be. And so we would have a lot more of our own money back in our pockets, and a whole lot less regulations and a whole lot less BS. And, there's nothing in the Constitution that says that you pay taxes on your income. It does say something about paying taxes on property, but that wasn't enough for them. So they had to find other ways to make money. And so they start putting on all this stuff, you want a driver's license? Oh, you got to pay extra for that. You got to pay extra for this, and there's a tax on that. And, I paid for something recently, and I realized that it used to be in California that if you didn't pay taxes on food, only like luxury items. So now more and more they're changing it that the items that are considered luxuries or not necessities, not food, they're getting taxed. So it's like it's always this one thing after another, and I don't think they realize how worn out people are, and also how tired they are of trying to stay ahead on this stuff. I wanted to point out that the best states to retire in 2022. As you know, I've been talking about that they've taken 3.2 million people have left California because of the pathetic, miserable, fascist behavior of the governor of California, Newsom, who is Pelosi's relative. He shut down businesses while his own little fat Jack, Plump Jack cafe stayed open. He told people they couldn't go out into crowds and have weddings and anniversaries and birthday parties, but he went and did it on our dime. All right, so Gavin Newsom, screw you. Anyway, this is an article from Smart Asset, and it's talking about the best states to retire in 2022. And I'll just read a little bit of it. It has a little quiz you can take to see what is the best match for you or where to go. But it says a comfortable retirement is a lifelong goal common to people of almost any age in any profession and from every state. But that isn't to say that retirement has equal value across state lines. Taxes, cost of living, and even climate can give certain states an upper hand when it comes to retirement. The same income investments can have such much different values in different parts of the country. We're ranking the top states that can be ideal for retirement. And so it goes down the list there. This is at smartasset.com. And I don't know what you think would be the states that would be good ones, but it's saying several additional states have no state income tax. States that made our list also have favorable sales, property, inheritance, and estate taxes. Well, that matters. If you've got something that you're going to be giving to your kids, you want to be in a state that actually, you know, doesn't seize all your hard-earned assets. The states are Alaska, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Nevada, South Dakota, and Wyoming. Again, it's Alaska, Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Nevada, South Dakota, and Wyoming. And there's more to that article, but that's the gist of it. So I know if I was a single woman, I would go to Alaska. There's a lot of men up there, and, you know, they want to have traditional, you know, kids and, you know, have a wife that, you know, takes care of them. A lot more than in California, that's for sure. I mean, one of my biggest regrets is not having our kids go far away for college, because I know that at least one of them would have been married by now. But instead she went to school with a bunch of gays and, you know, transsexuals. Yeah, I don't care. I'm saying it. And so, you know, if you're thinking about, Prager has said that, you know, when you're in college, it's never in your life will you ever be with as many people in the same boat with similar you know, situations, but also, you know, for finding a spouse, you know, that's where a lot of people find their spouse when they're in college. But if you're only meeting people who are gay, like, how are you supposed to find a spouse? So the colleges that are more, I would say, conservative Christian colleges, I think that'd be a good place to send your kids to college, because guess what? You know, you don't want to have it be that no kids, grandchildren in your future because your kids never got married. And I'm not saying that's the only reason to have kids, but when I speak to people who have never had children, that's one of their greatest regrets, because it's really a blessing. And, you know, to have grandchildren is even a double blessing. So something I would say, if you are sending your kids to college, think about that, because it's also about where they're going to be getting a job offer. Later, usually people get job offers, you know, near where they want to spend their life. And obviously, you know, you don't want to have your kids far away from you, but you don't want them to be, you don't want them to spend all that money on college and then still, you know, be with a bunch of whack job leftists who hijack Christian colleges. You know who I'm talking to. And then push Baha and all this other crap and barely mention Christianity and forget that it was a Christian group of people that founded that college, and you let it get hijacked all for your, well, overpaid professor jobs. Ugh. So anyway, that's what I want to say about that. As far as going up to, if say you bought a ticket and you end up coming out to go to this B&B, you know, obviously there's other things that you could do while you're here. But you could also go south instead of going north, and you could get a chance to see beautiful San Diego. And San Diego's hard to leave once you get here, that's for sure. You know, as I said in the past, some other shows, I wasn't planning on coming and living in California. My husband and I were newly married. I think we had been married don't know, a year or two when we came. And it was probably less than that. And they were having trouble getting senior engineers to come out and work on this project because a lot of people already had been married and had kids in school and all that stuff. My husband and I married later in life, so we were free to go. And so we did. And then later on, they moved all of our stuff out as part of the package. So it worked out okay. But if I knew that we were going to stay out here forever, you know, maybe I would have put up a fuss. Because the part that, you know, makes me sad and I regret the most is that my kids and my husband and I grew up, had our lives without our family members and friends that we already had when we came here. So we didn't get to have the big family get-togethers and the big picnics and all the fun stuff that happens and the, you know, watching the children learn how to walk and, you know, the nieces and nephews jumping in the pool and all that stuff. So that's one of the reasons why I have so much love in my heart for the few friends that we did make when we came to California, because those memories are so special to me, because I mean they had it, they had their own families and their own, you know, extended family, so it didn't make a big impression on them maybe hanging out with us, but for me it was what made it seem like I was back, like what I wasn't so homesick and so missing my family and missing my nieces and nephews, who I'm lucky that I got to know for like 10 years before we came out here. Because I was, my older brothers and sisters married long before I did. Quite a big age difference between them. Who were, you know, so I got to be a good aunt is what it comes down to. But and have lots of, you know, family get-togethers. But the part that I missed the most was the celebrations. That's partly why I like the celebration and decor and wedding industry, menus and events and all that stuff, because life needs to be celebrated and needs to be made special. And, you know, it's not just about having a party and picking out and food and, you know, having some beer. It's about having those family traditions passed down, getting together at a table or a picnic table or on the by the campfire, outdoor, you know, area, whatever it is, so that people relax and they tell their stories and share their experiences, and you find out about, you know, your history, and it's a verbal passing down of information, which is, you know, how the Native Americans did it, and that's the part that I really regret, is that my kids didn't grow up with uncles and aunts and nephews and or cousins and all that stuff. And also because of the trauma that happened in our family and my parents' divorce and all other bunch of other stuff, it broke up our extended family. So we stopped seeing our cousins and our uncles and I found out recently that my cousin passed, and I didn't even know that. And, you know, so it's really important to have these events, what they're calling them, the Thrive Time Show and the Time to Free America Tour. It's important to go to them because it's also a way to bring people together. And so if we keep doing this every year, 9/11, every state, every country does their own 9/11 memorial benefit festival, whatever you want to call it, it's an incentive for everyone to get together and to bring the next generation with them as well. And so it will over time transform our culture and our society, because we let our kids be raised by really bad people and indoctrinate them and change them into unmannerly, rude, perverse, and profane people, kids. So we have to get our kids back from that influence, and this is one way to do it. So that's just one aspect of this big, big Operation Rainbow. You know, it's in a way it's very simple, in another way it's very complex and a lot of moving pieces to it. But it needs lots of leaders. I mean, that's partly why I need the military to get involved. It's because they have leadership and they know how to get things done. That's why you need to have these returning veterans, you know, talk to them, ask them if they want to learn new skills. They can be the construction battalion. We had construction battalions during World War II that would set up whole facilities for the troops when they were being moved around. You know, we need people like that who can do that kind of stuff. You need to have a group of people, volunteers, that are making phone calls asking existing camps around the world, around the country and the world, if they want to be involved with this operation for having a safe haven for the rescued people. Because a lot of them, I don't want to get too graphic, but they need a lot of care. And I know this because I've seen it, okay? And they need a lot of care, put it that way. So that's why we need professionals to get involved with from everything from teaching to giving medical care, giving dentistry care, eyes, audiologists, you know, all kinds of stuff is needed. And, you know, you've heard of Doctors Without Borders. Well, we have people right here in this country that need help. Okay, so come on back to America and get in on Operation Rainbow. The other part of it is that fundraisers and ways to raise money for the housing and all the retraining and skills and teaching, all that stuff. Well, you're going to need to do fundraisers. And in order to do fundraisers, you need to have products. And another thing you need to do is to have somebody who, you know, wants to be helping their own local camp or their own local group of people that, you know, need extra care. So it comes down to having all these organizations, all these churches, all the Rotary Club and Lions Club, et cetera, having them all be synergistically working together. And that's a really tough thing to do because they all want to keep their donations coming into their organizations. So it's kind of hard to get all of them to, you know, cooperate and work together. But they don't, they'll realize that by doing this, that they will actually be blessed and they'll be even more prosperous and be, you know, more well-known, et cetera. And the one that I talk about, Act of Valor, that's just a small group. And, you know, there's Gold Star Moms and Blue Star Moms. And, you know, these are all worthy causes and efforts. But instead of it being everyone's doing their own thing, we got to work together. And also it comes into the businesses, but whether it be travel or products and gifts and growers of flowers and all that stuff that is involved, it's not trickle down, it's actually flood down. It'll be a deluge of new businesses and new inventions and all those kind of things. So part of it is I see the bigger picture, but it's the details that are problematic. And so that's the part that needs the movers and shakers. And they got involved. I mean, I'm not saying it's because of me, but they see the logic in it and the advantages in it. And I have some money to invest, but not enough that I could do what Mike Lindell's doing. So, you know, Mike's going to be a big mover and shaker, and it's already obvious. And, you know, Glenn Beck has Mercury One, which is his nonprofit that tries to that has helped people. They got people out of Iraq when they were left behind by Biden. Ugh. I think I would vomit if I saw him. Ugh. And, you know, all the people that were left behind and all the new equipment and technology and everything that Obama and Biden conspired to give to our enemies, you freaking traitors. Well, it was Glenn Beck that sent help to get those people, the Americans that were left behind, out. So Glenn Beck's organization, and Samaritan's Purse, that does good work, and there's all kinds of other groups out there. But you're not going to know about it if you're not listening to the right show at the right time. And so that is part of it with what I tried to put together. And, you know, I don't know, you know, how this is all going to shake out. But what I put on my the blog of Laura Bella, laurabella.com, is a connections directory, which also has languages built into it and some other features that help you to stand out. And I'm still trying to work on that because I have to add the categories so that if you are a you know, magician in Timbuktu, New Jersey, that you show up in the directory if someone's doing an event and they want to get a vetted good person in for the event to be the entertainment to help with the fundraising so that you could actually raise money for, you know, whatever it is that you're concentrating on. But, you know, I don't really, you know, like in the same, the Star Trek show, with great power comes great responsibility. I mean, I don't have an, I mean, this is too much for me. But then not to do anything, just to say, it's too hard. I think about all the people who need to be healed. And I'm not talking about miracle healing, like where you see transformations and you see people being healed like they were back when the last spiritual revival tried to happen and then evil quickly came in with Vietnam War and race riots and all the other crap that was done. You know, evil always rises up and smashes down. Whatever, every time we get close to being successful and having the world be more like what God intended, okay? And so when you talk about President Trump and you put him down, were there any wars ginned up when Trump was there in office? Were things worse with the Muslim, Christian, Jewish relations or there? Were we sending our troops to fight wars that never ended and had no purpose? All right, come on. Trump was the leader for the time that we're in, and the cabal put in that piece of Marxist camel dung, Obama, and put in the criminal crime family, Biden. And so, you know, are we going to take it? Oh, well, that's the part we're at right now. Pray for our president, the real president. Pray for our troops. Pray for our military. I would like to say that President Trump will be officially back in the Oval on 4th of July. I have not had confirmation about that. That might be just, you know, wishful thinking. The other part about it is that, you know, the Rawhide Ranch has a program that was more than just, you know, being around nature and horses. It's also about teaching discipline and teamwork and integrity and doing your chores and, you know, having structure to your day. And that camp has helped produce good kids to become good citizens. They also happen to be very advanced in horsemanship, and they teach the kids to basically do gymnastics and vaulting on the horses. I mean, it's really cool. I believe that they're getting the help that they need now. But, you know, how many of you people out there were told that you couldn't make any money for 2 years? And you still had all your bills to pay, and people lined up waiting to come and use your facility. And that's what happened to the Rawhide Ranch. They were shut down for nearly 2 years. If nothing else, you know, after being established in 1962, nothing else, they deserve help just because they have been a community cornerstone and have done such great work. So, you know, even if you don't want to buy an Inspired Escape ticket up to the B&B near Hearst Castle, see blog.laurabella.com for that information. Even if you don't want to, you can still send a check. You know, send them a dollar. Send them a buckaroo. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I just think that they are our neighbors, and they need help, and they help other businesses in the area when they do well, because people come and they take hotel rooms and they go out to eat and they go to the recreation that's around to enjoy, and they, you know, buy movie tickets and go golfing, and they go to the ocean, and they spend money on the casinos. I mean, I don't gamble, so I mean, not because I'm against gambling. I just never had extra money that I felt like I could go and blow it, or take a chance on blowing it. So, you know, it's good for everyone. And then if we do this Operation Rainbow, where everyone gets under the rainbow and they all get a pot of gold. I'm laughing because I just opened a page in the local magazine, and it has this picture of a leprechaun, Valley Center Irish stew cook-off. This is from a while ago. But anyway, you know, if you end up having this prosperity come, you know, I hope at least that I get remembered for being a part of it, because, you know, I feel like I've put so much effort into this, and I would just love to be able to say, Laura Bella's Operation Rainbow, you know, made X amount of money for the Rawhide Ranch fundraiser, you know, that I could actually have something tangible to look at and say, here's a check, Rawhide Ranch, you know, this was from all the listeners of the show, you know. But instead, it's going to be done by other people, like famous people. And then, you know, they'll get the credit for it. And, oh, you know, thank you, you know, KTLA or whatever, you know, for your generous donation to this special ranch, you know. I accept that. It's just the way it is. Anyway, well, I'm going to go out and listen and have you hear this from Seussism's Wise and Witty Prescriptions for Living from the Good Doctor, from Dr. Seuss. And it's funny because on the back of the book is a picture of a gift with a bow, and it's sitting on a table, and the table says life favors. And that's kind of funny because, you know, my previous shows have been about, you know, nautical innuendo and visuals. So it's kind of funny that the book I pick up is Life Favors, Seussism's Wise and Witty Prescriptions for Living from the Good Doctor. Here we go. I'm facing up to adversity. I learned there are troubles of more than one kind. Some come from ahead and some come from behind. But I've bought a big bar. I'm sorry, but I bought a big bat. I'm all ready, you see. Now my troubles are going to have troubles with me. It's a troublesome world. All the people who are in it are troubled with troubles almost every minute. Tell yourself, Ducky, you're really quite lucky. Some people are much more, oh, ever so much more, oh, muchly, muchly more, much more unlucky than you. Did I ever tell you how lucky you are? Anyway, I'm looking at his book, and, you know, it's funny because he was involved with the Wild Animal Park, which is now called the Safari Park, I think, which is near me and where our son worked when he was in high school. And it's a good place to go and visit, and quite a lot of interesting animals there. And when my kids were young, they got to live actually on the facility of the Wild Animal Park. And they had animal visitations regularly as part of their education. And I think that's kind of a special place. So if you come out down this way, definitely make time to go to SeaWorld, go to the Wild Animal Park, go to the Museum of Music, go to the Carr Museum in, the address is, I think it's Escondido, Deer Park Winery, Carr Museum, Vintage Carr and Memorabilia from America. Go to the, I think I said Children's Museum. It's a music museum as well as a children's museum. Even the local Valley Center Museum is very interesting, has a lot of artifacts and a big giant bear, stuffed bear in there, a real one. And it has a lot of memorabilia from famous people that lived here, movie stars, which I told you in the past who they were. There's quite a lot of them. I've taken some pictures and put up the video about it. It's on my Getter feed under Laurie and Company at Laurie Parrish. But some of those people included Steve Reeves, the guy who played Hercules, who was a bodybuilder, and John Wayne and Gary Cooper and June Allison and her husband, and Dale and Roy Rogers. I think that's correct. Bing Crosby bought up a lot of land down here, and Lawrence Welk has the Welk Resort here. Well, he's no longer with us. And there was another person that was, well, I think I told you in the past that Bo Derek rides her horses near San Luis Rey, which is a racetrack, or keeps her horses near there. Bo Derek was beautiful, is a beautiful lady who was in the movie 10. Well, it's from a while ago. Belle is a conservative. She probably won't tell anyone that, but she is. And there's a lot of others that are as well. But, you know, if you rely on making a living with your, you know, acting or singing or whatever it may be, you're not going to tell anybody that you're conservative. And that's not the America that I want to live in, where you have to be afraid to have a different point of view. And that's what these leftists have done. They're thugs. They're bullies. and they're not Americans. So we're disengaging people, and so I get asked you to get under Laura Bella's umbrella and get under the rainbow. And also treasure hunt. There's a special picture out there of a rainbow in some of the stuff that I've posted. You're going to have to go back and look and listen. And there's a, it's a rainbow, and it has a, shall we say, not a dinosaur. It's another mythical animal. And it ties into the song Puff the Magic Dragon. Do you remember that song? It's from long ago. Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea. Do you remember that song? Anyway, look for that picture under the rainbow. Look for that. That's your treasure hunt. Okay, let's see. So if you want to call in, it's 319-527-6779. We're at the end of our segment here. I have another show to do tomorrow, and I said that, you know, I'm taking a sabbatical, and I'll be popping back in and stuff, and there's other platforms like blogtalkradio.com, Operation Rainbow, blogtalkradio.com, In Circle Pros, Glory and Company In Circle. I made a few different ones to be used for different purposes. I had planned to try to have kids come over to my studio and learn how to use the broadcasting system, but it's problematic. So, because you have to, you know, have consent forms and all that stuff. So it might be easier just to have them do it from their own homes, and then that means sharing information and screenshots and that kind of stuff. So I need some technical assistance with that to get that going. I wanted to tell you about if you donate and buy a ticket, I misplaced it. It's a gift certificate to the Green Art House. This is for a free painting class, one-on-one. And this was issued back in September. And it's located in Fallbrook. And that would be a really nice thing to do. Take a class with a expert, accomplished, famous artist. So just buy a ticket to the Inspired Getaway on the blog of LauraBella.com, blog.laurabella.com. All right. I want to see if you have the ability to know whether I'm kidding or whether I'm serious. And it's one of the things that I struggle with. I asked God to give me discernment so that I would be able to figure out what was going on, because I knew something was terribly wrong. This is years ago when I first got involved with this. And I think he's gave me some discernment, but, you know, I'm just an ordinary person. So, you know, my superpowers don't always work. So I'm going to tell you something. This is, you know, this is part of the challenge of, you know, to try to get people awake. I'm going to tell you something, and then I want you to be able to decide whether I'm being serious or being, you know, being kidding or being facetious. A lot of people don't have the ability to decide if something is correct or true, and that's partly because they haven't been taught critical thinking skills. So, you know, as you know, my name's Lori, L-O-R-I. I didn't tell you this until just now, but I own Lori Marr Vineyards and Winery up in Temecula. It's a really beautiful place, made out of stone. Kind of looks like a church or a lighthouse, whichever way you want to look at it. And Mar means sea. That's why I called it Lori Mar Vineyards and Winery. And it's a beautiful place to visit. We've got music and all kinds of things going on there. They always have a band. Look at the calendar of events. It's at LoriMarWinery.com. It's a happening place, and I hope you get to visit it. I also think when you're up there, you should stop by Wilson Creek Winery, which it always makes you feel good because there's lots of people and always happy faces and events going on and music as well. Do you think I own the Lori Mar? If you decided that I was kidding, you're right. I don't own the Lori Mar. But it would be cool if I did, because I wouldn't have to, it's LoriMar. Anyway, it's a great place. Get up there, visit it, have some fun, people. Don't let them depress you. Okay, we're gonna get through this, and they're gonna regret what they did to us. iVoterGuide.com helps you figure out who to go with in politics. All right, I'm gonna take you out on an important person's speech. Be bold, be brave, and we'll all be free.
You, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
I, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, do solemnly swear.
That you will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States.
And will, to the best of your ability.
And will, to the best of my ability.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States.
So help you God.
So help me God.
All right, let's roll, people. That was JFK's inaugural. Go back and listen to President Trump's inaugural speech. What he was talking about, we're going to be having very soon. So keep praying, people. God bless you.